And also, I got burns in places that you would never, ever expect getting burns.
She got sheet burns in her butt crack, is what she's saying.
Hey, you're listening to Triple J with the Doctor. No matter how crap your day was today, it's going to get better because we're going to get all comic book today. You are going to meet Hellboy.
You're in love. Have a beer.
No, my body is a temple.
Well, now it's an amusement park.
No. The glandular balance.
Just shut up and drink it, would you?
Yes, Ron Perlman, the grizzled actor. He plays Hellboy. He plays Clay in Sons of Anarchy. He was out here for Oz Comic Con and he is dropping in today. Heaps of new music as well, including Queens of the Stone Age, as I don't reckon you've ever heard them before. And, did you get invited to Sam Simmons' wedding? See, you got invited to Sam Simmons' wedding, right? Everyone got invited to Sam Simmons' wedding. Like, seriously, everyone. I'll tell you why in a second. I'm on Triple J with the Doctor right now, though. Maybe you didn't know. Sam Simmons, our favourite mustachioed comedian, is getting married. That's right. And before you start going, come on, I'm his mate, why didn't he tell me? I mean, the dudes in the cafe next door didn't even know that he was engaged. But he is to a beautiful lady, his longtime girlfriend, Roz. And the best part about this, apart from the fact that two people who are in love are getting married, is that you are invited. And this is true. He tweeted this yesterday, that he's getting married and he's taken, I think, an unusual step of broadcasting the entire wedding live via webcam. So seriously, it's Thursday morning our time. If you want to listen, check it in on the webcam. He tweeted all about this. It is actually going down. Sam Simmons getting married to Roz. It's pretty exciting. Oh, and there was one other thing about it.
Viva Las Vegas.
He's getting married in Vegas with an Elvis impersonator.
How I wish that
it's true, it's true. He says here, we're getting married in Vegas and would like you to watch via our live webcam. You can even check out the wedding. You got to go to elvischapel.com. That is what's happening. It's Roz and Sam's lawful union. They're getting married in Vegas. You got to log on early to avoid disappointment. Now, so if you want to see Sam Simmons get married by an Elvis impersonator, then please. And of course, over the next couple of days, we're going to hunt down this Elvis impersonator, find out exactly what he's got in store for Sam Simmons. It may just be the wedding of the year.
Las Vegas turning day into night.
That's great. It's great. Have you, like, I mean, this is one of those things, you know, you see it in movies, people getting married. They wake up in Vegas and they've been married to someone by an Elvis impersonator. It does happen, though. It actually happens in real life. Like, maybe you've done it. Have you done one of these runaway-style, Elvis-style weddings? If you have been to Vegas and been married by Elvis, tell me what Sam Simmons has got in store, please. Give me a call, 1-300-055-36, or you can text 0439-757-555. Maybe, if you can't afford to go to Vegas, who is the Australian version of an Elvis Presley impersonator? Like, if we have Elvis weddings in Vegas, do we have John Farnham weddings or Slim Dusty weddings in Australia? If you know what the Elvis Presley wedding version is in Australia, let me know it too. 1-300-055-36. Andy from the Gold Coast. Apparently, this happens all the time. You, 2 months ago, were married. Hello, hang about, why don't I press the right button? What's going on here? Oh, there we go, Sorry, it's Elvis getting me distracted. Hey, Andy, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good.
Now, you got married 2 months ago to whom?
Kate.
And by who?
An Elvis impersonator.
That's wonderful. What was it like? Was it, did you plan this?
Yeah, no, we've been planning it for a long time.
And so why the Elvis impersonator in Vegas?
It was cheap. It was something a bit different, you know, and we're not really sort of religious people. We just wanted to do something, a bit different and spontaneous, you know.
It's good to know that it's not expensive, because I wouldn't want Sam Simmons throwing all of his precious
candy. No, it's pretty cheap.
And how many, did he do all the songs?
He did three.
Okay, three Elvis songs. That's pretty cool. And it was webcast too, so your friends back home.
Yeah, it was webcast all across the world. Once we finished, we got plenty of text messages and Facebook messages from people that weren't there, so it was pretty cool.
That is great. Now, what did it feel like, you and Kate, so Andy and Kate there at the altar with an Elvis impersonator, I'm guessing in gold glasses and a white jumpsuit, how did it feel?
Pretty ridiculous, to be honest.
Did you keep a straight face with the I do's and the kissing?
No, that was all right. It was just like a lot of awkward dancing in front of family members and friends, and it was, but it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun.
Does Elvis turn up for the honeymoon? The wedding
night? No, fortunately, okay. No.
That's great.
We did invite him to the reception, but he didn't come.
Oh, he's probably quite busy. Hey, I got a text from Summer. Claire texted her parents renewed their vows at the Graceland Chapel by Elvis. She was about 12. It was the most embarrassing thing to ever happen to her. So you do all right. Hey, thank you very much, dude. Have we got Hayden on the line? Your boss got married by Elvis.
He did, yes.
Okay, and they went a little step further as well. Tell us about the bride-to-be coming into the chapel.
So the doors gently opened to a cloud of fog from a fog machine, and Elvis himself in a pink Cadillac drove the bride-to-be in to be married. Pretty awesome.
See, I reckon that this would actually take the pressure off the wedding because you're already freaking out. It's your big day. But if you're getting driven in by Elvis and he's singing songs and stuff, it would really take the tension off.
Absolutely. They were both really big Elvis fans, so they were just grinning the whole time.
This is great. Okay, I'm feeling better about Sam Simmons, our favourite comedian, and his fiancée, Roz, who are getting married by an Elvis impersonator. And does it make you feel better about having a boss that gets married like that?
Absolutely. And they weren't eloping or anything like that. They had the whole family watching on live webcam.
Oh, it's beautiful. As we can watch Sam Simmons and Roz, go to Elvis Chapel if you want to check out Sam Simmons getting married in a couple of days' time. But what is the Australian version of this? We can't all afford to go to Vegas like Hayden's boss, like Sam Simmons. The text coming in suggesting that maybe a Rolf Harris tribute group, maybe a Warnie impersonator, not bad, Paul Hogan as an Elvis celebrant. That's not a wife, says Rick in Darwin. Barry Morgan and his amazing organs. Look, we need an Australian Elvis version of Elvis. Who is going to do Australian celebrity weddings? Phil from the Southo Shire, you're getting married soon and you've thought of someone who could preside over it.
Yeah, maybe Dame Edna.
Dame Edna Everidge. So to be like, do you possum, et cetera, take you?
Yeah.
That would be a classy wedding. The best thing about it is Dame Edna could turn into Leslie Colin Patterson, Barry Humphrey's other character, for the reception and give like a drunken father of the bride sort of speech.
Yeah, or he could be the perfect MC, really.
Oh, wouldn't he? Oh, yes. Minister for the Yachts. That would be so good. Yeah. Now, have you raised this brand new plan with your fiancée?
Well, as it's quite newly hatched and she's driving right next to me, I've got a pretty good response, so it's a definite possibility.
Now, is your fiancée Marissa, is she in the car there?
Yeah, she's right next to me.
Can we just chuck her on for a second? Put her phone up to her mouth. Hello, Marissa? Hello. Marissa?
Hello.
Now, are you okay to have Dame Edna Everidge preside over your wedding?
Oh, I could give it a go, I guess.
Give it a go. It's the biggest day of your life.
Oh, well, it'll be memorable, that's for sure.
And at least you'll be able to say, you know, this is spurred on by Sam Simmons getting married by an Elvis impersonator.
That's exactly right.
Well, I guess we'll have to find out if Dame Edna has a celebrant certificate because this is, you know, serious business.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Marissa. Thank you very much, Phil. And thank you for the people telling me that there is an Australian celebrity. It's not John Farnham. It's not Rodney Rood, though that's an excellent suggestion as well, or Kevin Bloody Wilson, or Ned Kelly, that actually does preside over weddings. Now, if this is true, let me know about it, because I would love to be at a wedding and be married by Kamal.
Love is in the air. Everywhere I look around.
And Bronwyn's on the line. You're heading to a wedding, and who is going to be presiding over this one?
Greg Evans, who used to host A Perfect Match.
What do you got? You got A Perfect Match. That is brilliant, Bronwyn. Do you know if Dexter the Robot's going to be there to make sure they're perfectly matched?
From their Facebook posts, I'd say no.
Oh, gosh. Have you got any plans for when you get married, who you would like to be the celebrant?
I actually had my gym instructor marry me.
You had, and now, as a celebrant or as a bride or groom?
No, he was my celebrant.
So you had to like do burpees and stuff when you were getting married.
No, he was pretty cool.
Okay, fine. Okay, gym. Okay, apparently gym instructors are official celebrants as well. Thanks, Bronwyn. Wish your friends congratulations from us. Cara, you met him on the weekend.
Yeah, hey, Lindsay, how are you doing?
Now, I'm good. You're at Oz Comic Con.
I certainly was.
And not only that, but you met the guy who plays so many criminals and underworld figures in so many TV shows and movies by doing something rather underhand yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of hilarious. I wandered over to his exclusive panel. I kind of was just planning on standing on the outside of the marquee and just, you know, have a glimpse of the man, listen to his amazing voice,
yep,
you know.
Yep, you got it.
And, kind of just wandered in there. I was holding a coffee in my hand, and I reckon that's what it was. I had must have had, like, a sense of importance or something holding this coffee.
It's a trick as old as the trees.
Yeah, totally, totally. And no one asked me to leave, which was really interesting because there was all these people in, like, you know, like Darth Vader costumes or something trying to get in, and they were getting, you know, booted
rejected,
out.
Rejected, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of hilarious watching Darth Vader walking away sad and dragging his lightsaber across
and
the ground.
Coffee Girl, the secret superhero, getting through.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to ask him about what he feels about the people dressing up like him, you know, as Hellboy and I guess as Clay. Did he reveal anything about, you know, maybe his acting as Clay Morrow or as Hellboy?
Yeah, well, he actually said that one of the most difficult roles he has to play was Clay, purely because of how crazy Clay's character is. And he was just saying that, you know, a lot of the stuff that he has to do is so out of character for him that he's had to sit down with Kurt Sutter quite a bit and try and work it out, like, the best way
to... He looks like such a badass bastard in real life.
Yeah.
Surely you'd imagine he's not, you know, not too far from the character. Well, that's very interesting. Did you hear that beautiful story? Because you can imagine getting dressed up as Hellboy would take a good 8 to 9 hours to put the makeup on. And last year, years after the second, the two movies were made, there was this kid that was really, really sick. And he just wanted to meet Hellboy. So Ron Perlman got back into the full film makeup and went and met this really sick kid.
Oh, see, that's just legendary. Yeah, and you know what? Beautiful. Perlman is such a boss. It wouldn't surprise me that he'd do something amazing like that.
Oh, yes.
What a legend.
What a legend. Well, you're going to meet him up very, very soon on Triple J. Kara, thank you for telling us your Oz Comic Con story.
No problems at all.
And up next.
You're in love. Have a beer.
No, my body is a temple.
Well, now it's an amusement park.
No. The glandular palace.
Just shut up and drink it, will you?
Hellboy is going to be on your radio. Clay Morrow, Ron Perlman, Triple J.
Hellboy. Skip to the end. How do I kill it? Ready, PG-13.
Mr. Ron Perlman. Hey, dude. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for chatting to us. Are you excited to be in Australia for Comic-Con?
I'm excited to be in back in Australia, period. I shot a movie here back in the mid-90s called The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Was Moreau filmed in Australia? I had no idea.
It was filmed in Cairns.
So was you and Marlon Brando hanging out in Cairns?
Far north Queensland. It's one of the most magnificent places on the face of the earth. The movie was fraught with organizational nightmarish aspects to it, which afforded me no small amount of time on the reef and exploring the great, beautiful rainforest, spending copious amounts of time eating amazing food in Port Douglas. Really just a stellar experience for me.
Wow. So what was probably given John Frankenheimer a lot of problems was helping you out no end, having a beautiful time.
Yeah, no, I had no sympathy for his petty problems.
I'm chatting to Ron Perlman, who's back in the country, not on the reef now, but in the country for Comic-Con. Do you enjoy doing these things and meeting all of the, you know, the Hellboy fans and the Sons of Anarchy fans and stuff?
I do. It's great to come this far from home, spend a couple of minutes exchanging, you know, good vibes with the people to whom we intended all this stuff to land.
And I imagine some of those good vibes are exchanged with people in costume. In the previous Comic-Cons that you've done, how close do they get to looking as good as Red did in Hellboy? Like, does it go more than a couple of toilet rolls stuck to their heads?
You know, you got to give them a lot of high marks for the effort. It's hard for them to compete with the amount of money, resources, and AAA-list talent that goes into the final Hollywood look.
And I did hear that you actually donned the red body paint last year to go hang out with a sick kid.
Well, that was just a phenomenal opportunity for me. Through a beautiful series of coincidences, we found out that the Make-A-Wish Foundation had a kid who used the Hellboy movies to help get him through some real tough times when he was going through chemotherapy. And so we found a way to spend some time with this kid. And it was a little bit enriching for him, but more so for us. Really moved us deeply.
Of course. That's beautiful. I'm talking to Ron Perlman, who's Clay Morrow on the Sons of Anarchy and Hellboy in Hellboy. I imagine the time you spend in the makeup chair for Hellboy makes getting the tattoos put on you for Clay Morrow seem not that bad.
Yeah, that's true.
How long does it take to get done up as Mr. Morrow?
Never more than like an hour or so. That's under the most pressing of situations. Yeah. That's after he's had the snot beat out of him and stuff. And my average probably 30, 40 minutes, yeah. Which is about 3.5 hours less than Hellboy took.
I did hear there may be another Hellboy on the horizon, all things going well.
You know, I'm the one who started that rumor, so the fact that it's made its way all the way down to, a continent, 7 or 8 continents away from where I first started the rumor, that's good, man. That's really good. I got to give myself a big pat on the back for that.
Well, you've been hanging out with the director, Guillermo del Toro. I saw a photo of you on a private jet with him, so you got plenty of time to talk it over. That's Lana Del Rey. Young and beautiful, from the soundtrack to The Great Gatsby. We have another actor from many other movies and TV shows on the line. Hellboy in Hellboy. Yes, from Name of the Rose. Thank you for that text. From Alien Resurrection, from the new movie Pacific Rim, which we'll talk about in a second. And Clay Morrow on Sons of Anarchy.
Right into this world.
Now, Clay Morrow, who was originally one of the elder statesmen of the Sam Crow, one of the kind of the good guys, the start of season 5, you ended up a little bit messed up, a bit of a traitor to Sam Crow, a physical wreck, as a matter of fact. Now, where's he at now?
We are in the middle of shooting season 6. I don't want to give away too many spoilers.
True.
All I can tell you is that he's still alive. What state he's in, I don't want to go into too much detail.
Do you get stopped in the street by real biker dudes complimenting you on your portrayal?
Actually, we've gotten nothing but enthusiasm and love from the biker world, which, you know, it's like getting a great review in your favorite hometown newspaper, you know. I mean, you know, if we had blown it with the guys whose real world we're trying to honor and depict, that would have been disastrous. Number one, because these guys are way tougher than we are. And number two, you know, we went into it with the idea in mind that, you know, we were going to never be gratuitous or Hollywood-y. It's hard to believe that we've come this far and no one has ever really spent this much time depicting that world. And the feedback we've gotten from the get-go has just been very encouraging. They like the association a lot, and they are very effusive about inviting us into their homes and their world whenever we're in town.
And with legends, you know, such as yourself and Henry Rollins and Danny Trejo and Jimmy Smits is back as well, you're in very good company. I'm talking to Ron Perlman on Triple J, which is very exciting, and it's just quite good timing that you're here in Australia because there's a brand new film opening in the next week, Pacific Rim, and you play this kind of alien corpse trader.
Just because the apocalypse is here doesn't mean you can't look and feel your best. My exclusive kaiju harvesting and preservation process can provide you with all the kaiju organs, tissue, and bodily fluids you need. Call, click, or look for your kaiju symbol at your local black market today.
Tell me a little bit about this guy, because I always thought you looked a little bit like Tom Waits, but this character in Pacific Rim, you are the most Tom Waits you've ever looked, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, that's high praise. You know, he's one of my favorite dudes who ever walked the planet. In fact, me and Tom have kind of been trying to play brothers for a long time in movies, and eventually we're gonna figure out a way to do that. But Hannibal Chow is the name of my character. He's a showman. He has no scruples whatsoever. He's just a guy who is, you know, worshiping at the throne of the accumulation of untold amounts of wealth. Basically, exists off the backs of other people's misfortune.
Even as he's quite matter-of-fact about the fact that the world is going to end, he's going to make a buck off it selling you those body parts of the aliens.
Well, until the world ends, he's going to be in the best car you can drive, and he's got a pair of 24-karat gold shoes.
I'm going to see the movie tonight, so I'm very excited to see
how
it slots into the movie. In fact,
enjoy.
Thank you. People have been loving it. I saw Kanye and the RZA. You know, you got high praise from some cool places loving it.
The RZA actually produced a song that my daughter performs and writes at the end and during the end credits. Guillermo has always been a fan of hers, and he said, if you write a song that I feel fits into the movie, I'll help get it in there. And so she did, and coincidentally ran into the RZA and asked if he wanted to co-produce it with her, and he did. And so the whole thing kind of evolved in a beautiful way. But I'm very proud of her.
That's pretty cool to not only be in the movie, but have your daughter on the soundtrack as well, hanging out with the Wu-Tang Clan.
How about that, huh?
All
right. Baby.
Yes. If I didn't already love you, I love you a lot more after Jenny. This. Hey, dude, have an absolute ball in Australia. You've got Pacific Rim out this week. What else is going on in your excellent life?
Well, we got the Sons of Anarchy season 6 is about to premiere in the States. I'm launching my own film company. I'm directing a movie in the fall, and then I'm going to start another one that's going to be produced by my company. So I'm just having a ball in life right now, man.
That's great. And then you and Tom Waits are going to star as brothers in some kind of, would it be a comedy, I imagine?
I'm desperately trying to find something that he responds to because, boy, to be able to spend some time hanging out with him and swapping war stories and maybe even getting a movie made, that would be position A.
Oh, wow. Hey, Ron, have an absolute ball in Australia, man. Hope you get up to Cairns again soon, and we should have another chat when something awesome's going on.
Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you, Ron. I'll see you later, man.
Bye, my friend.
And if you don't mind, Mr. Perlman, I'm going to play a little bit of Wu-Tang Clan right now for the RZA. Here's Cream off Enter the Wu-Tang on Triple J. That's Big Scary from an excellent feature album. Not Art, name of the record, and that is Belgian Blues from Big Scary, a duo from Melbourne. I'm not sure where they live, what part of Melbourne. If they live in Thornbury, Brunswick or Northcote, then they would not have been able to listen to their own record last night because 30,000 homes lost power in a massive blackout kind of thing. They were calling it something wrong with the bridge converter or something, apparently Melbourne Power said was going down. But it was full on. Jesse, you were involved. You got taken out.
Yeah, I certainly was.
What was the result? What happened to you?
I was on my way home from footy training at about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And as I kind of approached, like, Brunswick, all the lights were off and, like, cars were just driving everywhere. It was kind of like, it was actual mayhem. Yeah. And
yeah, we've seen Walking Dead. We know, we kind of imagine how it's going to look. And how did it affect you specifically?
Well, I got home and I was like, okay, I'm just stinky guy. I just got home from footy training. Yep, I just want to have a shower. And for some reason, the hot water is out. I think it's because we have electric hot water. Yep, so I couldn't have a hot shower. Wasn't willing to have a cold one because it was freezing as well.
Fair enough, yeah.
So I decided to go to my girlfriend's house, which is like just down the road, which is in West Brunswick. But the only way to get there is to cross a train line, like literally drive over it. Yep. And all the train line gates had shut.
Yeah, I heard this morning that, in fact, according to the Herald Sun, there was a young woman dressed in pink tracksuit pants guiding cars through the boom gates across the train line at Union Street. So you
Union Street, that's right where my house is.
This is it. So you couldn't get to your girlfriend. You couldn't even jump on a train. Do you have like a fixie that you could get on? Some sort of penny farthing to ride with your little pencil moustache?
Funnily enough, I do have a black fixie because I was part of Hipster Geddon.
You were. Hey, it's so true. You were training for the Community Cup next year, no doubt, at footy training, and you got stuck with no shower. Thanks for chatting to us, Jesse.
No worries, doctor.
It was called Hipster Geddon, especially if you were on the internet, if you could get to the internet, if you had enough bars of power left on your iPad. And the gentleman who named it thus is on the line, Melbourne comedian Declan Fay. You bore the brunt of this business.
Yeah, doctor, look, I don't know if I'm actually okay to talk about it. I'm still traumatised by it. I mean, some of the scenes we saw, there was bearded 20-somethings huddled around their iPads. There was teenagers burning their Dave Eggers books for warmth. There was 30-somethings scratching scraps of food out of their beards. People were hoarding spirulina and quinoa. There was people, you could hear banshee cries as university students screamed their Q&A tweets into the night sky.
I know, if you don't tweet at Q&A, did it even happen?
If some of those people don't tweet at Q&A, they actually have fully fledged anxiety attacks and die. They break into cold sweats, hives, they start foaming at the mouth, they start running around shouting things about Malcolm Turnbull and Barnaby Joyce. It's very, very ugly scenes.
Yeah, now, you weren't the only person to tweet. You were, now this is perfect. We're talking to Declan Fay, who was the first person to tweet about Hipster Geddon last night, also the top tweeter. So in an event that happened to Brunswick, Northcote and Thornbury, to talk to the top tweeter, this is some meta business, Declan.
Oh, this is huge business.
Now, Justin Hamilton's power stayed on, and he was tweeting, "I'm warding off the hipsters with nuts and grains as they congregate around my house, drawn to the light of working electricity."
Well, it was very interesting because Justin Hamilton lives down the road from me, so I don't know where he was getting his power source from, whether he was powering it via vegan farts and wheatgrass. I have no idea how we managed to pull that off because we were shrouded in darkness and it was terrifying.
Maybe he was one of the people that said that that had the blackout before anyone had heard of the blackout, so it was a cooler blackout.
Well, he had sort of organic nuts and activated almonds to fend people off. We were in big trouble because we just had handfuls of instant coffee. Basically our only supplies that were left.
Wait a second. So what happened to all the Single Origin? Had you already run out of Single Origin coffee?
Yeah, we were totally out of Single. You have to get rid of that stuff because if they find out that you've got it, then it'll be your house that's torched to the ground.
Can you imagine they're like smashing the jars that they drink their Carlton out of because everyone drinks out of jars in Brunswick to attack you?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Oh, the jars were. I mean, people were hurling their fixie bikes through the window of the local Whole Foods store just to try and grasp for the final piece of rhubarb.
Yeah, this is after they were wrapping the tyres around themselves just for warmth. Now we can confirm that by this morning the power was back on. This crisis has passed.
It was. It actually quite seriously. I think it came in grids because some people it got on before midnight, and then some people I heard it was 2 a.m. The thing that really made me think it was Hipstergeddon is there is a very hipster supermarket near us that anyone in Melbourne will be familiar with called Peter Monty's.
Right.
And a car actually drove into the side of it. And my exact thought was, it is the end of days.
The walking hipster dead. This is some full-on business. Now since then, thank goodness we've started to rebuild after Hipstergeddon last night in Brunswick, Thornbury and Northcote. Apparently, well, I saw you can actually buy T-shirts with the Hipstergeddon written on them.
This is insane. Somebody has probably spent their entire arts grant on that. On that particular T-shirt company. I think the moment that I thought something's gone wrong here is, you know how our parents were used to dealing with, like, you know, they could deal with blackouts and they would do things like torches and check fuse boxes.
Yes.
And do proper things like that. I saw somebody tweet, hey, guys, all the lights have gone out. Please can someone tell me where the taco truck is?
Now, Declan, we got an actual tweet, a text, sorry, well, maybe an Instagram, from a paramedic who was working in Brunswick last night, and the amount of calls we got for anxiety was so much more than we really do. People can't cope with no power, apparently, anymore.
No, that's exactly right. And there's only so much you can light with just one of those tiny little fixie fluoro lights that go on your bike.
It's true. Now, Declan, thank you so much for giving us a report from the scene of Hipstergeddon. The gentleman who coined the term on Twitter last night of Hipstergeddon, the official report, I believe, up next we might see what Hollywood is making of Hipstergeddon. It may be in some kind of movie trailer form. And as Shane Sullivan joked, thank goodness folk rockers Mumford & Sons have announced a benefit concert for the Hipstergeddon survivors. So we'll have a listen to them now. Declan Fay, thank you very much for taking us back to the scene of Hipstergeddon.
Thank you for having me. I'm still recovering. I'm clutching my life into spirulina as we speak.
We will rebuild. Josie, you're in Brunswick.
Hi, yes. Well, I live in Brunswick.
Yes, and tell me, your boyfriend was another casualty of Hipstergeddon.
He was. He was at the gym at the Brunswick Baths at the time as they were plunged into darkness.
Gosh.
And everyone screamed as they all fell off their exercise equipment.
And all of that dance music by bands we've never heard of all turned off at once.
Probably lucky their iPods are still going.
Oh, yes, very good point, very good point. So the screams as everyone fell off their exercise equipment.
Yes, very dangerous, very dangerous.
But everyone is safe. We will rebuild. It'll be okay.
It will be okay. Yes. I believe the emergency lighting kicked in.
Good.
And no broken legs.
Excellent. Well, if anyone on High Street or Sydney Road or anything wants to give us an update now, it'll be good to know. Josie, thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks, Doctor.
Another person reporting from the sides of Hipstergeddon. And as usual, don't worry, the good movie makers of the world, they're all across it.
What do you do when your world goes dark?
Brunswick's out.
There goes Northcote.
We've lost Thornbury. I repeat, we've lost Thornbury.
No electricity. No phone charges. No Q&A.
I need to tweet.
Thinks of Tony's panel tonight.
Nowhere for hipsters to turn.
There are reports dozens of fixed gear bicycles have jammed up Sydney Road.
There's no streetlights. I can't see where to hang my gorilla knitting.
Must apply filter to photo before battery.
tips to get him.
Get the cutthroat razor.
Bro, this is my beard we're talking about.
We need your beard. We need its warmth.
This winter, your world is coming to an end.
It's cold, Mummy.
Children, gather around the iPad.
But, Mummy, there's only 3% battery left.
It'll be okay, Judith. It'll be okay.
Tips to get him. Out now at pop-up independent movie houses you've never heard of.
The Doctor on Triple J.
Right now we're dealing with the aftermath of what went down in Brunswick, Thornbury and Northcote last night. Hipster Geddon, 31,000 homes without power. How are you surviving? That's what I want to know. Someone said both my and my partner's MacBook Pros died halfway through our favourite episode of Archer in Brunswick. Sad face. And someone's getting over it. Overhead light, 4 lamps, 2 strings of fairy lights and 2 lava lamps are on in my room. The trauma is fading. Look, that's all right for people who have lived there for a while, but what about the people who are new to that hipster Bermuda Triangle? The people who are new to Brunswick, Northcote and Thornbury? Sarah, you've only just moved there.
Yeah, we moved in May and this is the first time the power's gone out and this is the first time we've lived by ourselves.
And how did you survive? How did you cope?
We were wandering around the house with our MacBooks for light.
Oh, we have all us apprentice hipsters, myself included, have done that. Like pressed a button on our iPhones and tried to like try and find the key to the door and stuff until the power, till the bars go down to zero and the MacBook turns off.
It was terrifying.
Oh, dear. Oh, how about Ella just sent me a text. Managed to cook and host a delicious Indian dinner party by candlelight in Brunswick last night during Hipstergeddon. Did you survive?
We were in the middle of cooking bolognese.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Was it ethically sourced meatballs?
We had to order pizza.
Oh, so you went...
Because pizza in Preston apparently had power.
Oh, wow. Now, you don't want to be getting that word out because next time Hipstergeddon goes down, everyone's going to be running towards, or riding their fixies towards Preston with their with their pizza ordering cake faces on. Wow. So, and you survived. And I believe you are new to that area, but you have adapted because you've all got fixies.
Yeah. We've just bought fixies, so we're all good.
Welcome. Where did you move from?
We moved from Mount Eliza, so near Frankston, basically.
Isn't that beautiful? I know. My friend Sarah's from Mount Eliza. I'm going to her birthday party in a couple of weeks at Mount Eliza.
Oh, good.
There you go. I'll say good day to the rest of your old friends, and thank you for adapting to Hipstergeddon.
The Doctor on Q.